You'll find real-life stories from women who have suffered miscarriage and infant loss in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, Never Forsaken, God's Mercy in the Midst of Miscarriage. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can read an excerpt of Never Forsaken at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Never Forsaken, God's Mercy in the Midst of Miscarriage, 800-325-3040.
Roe v. Wade is an important precedent of the Supreme Court. It's been reaffirmed many times.
The purpose of assisted suicide is to eliminate suffering. And they are also saying eliminating the sufferer is an acceptable way to do that.
I think it's exceedingly myopic and narcissistic to think that the church is that fluid, that it changes so quickly with the times.
He joins himself to us again and again in the Holy Communion as one flesh with him. He is to us everything, everything that Adam should have been to Eve, and even more.
Hi, this is Nick from Washington State, and I'm a carpenter who loves to listen to Issues Etc.
I think I have read a chapter or two, an introduction, a lot of summaries, some commentaries. I've talked with dozens of experts on the air here about this passage and that passage and what the book is about, but I don't think I've ever read the entire Quran. Part of it is that it's not easy reading. I've tried. And part of it is that there are people more expert in the subject than me. But it's a good idea if we're going to talk about this, well, one of the whole, maybe the holiest books of the Muslim religion, of Islam, to at least kind of have a feel for what the book is and what it's all about. We're going to begin a series introducing the books of the Quran, beginning with Surah 9. Dr. Adam Francisco will be our guest. But first, on this Tuesday afternoon, we are going to go through your email to us and the Issues Etc. listener comment line. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio. That listener email address that you can access anytime, not only when we're broadcasting live, but as many do when they have the time and when they're listening, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Both of those avenues are open 24/7 for your questions, your comments, your show suggestions, your criticisms, because we know that the vast majority of our listeners listen on demand and can't join the conversation in real time. Talkback@issuesetc.org and 618-223-8382. Let's begin with some feedback from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Hello, this is Margie calling from Lake Stevens, Washington. And I just got caught by your making the case pop up. Please get it down so that I can listen again on my Kindle. This is very frustrating. Thanks, Pastor Wilkin, for taking care of this as soon as you can. Bye-bye.
We certainly do not want to frustrate our listeners. We make every effort to make, we don't always succeed, but we make every effort to make listening to the show and interacting with us as easy and as convenient as possible. Now, what she's referring to is a pop-up ad that we started, was it early last week? Is that correct, Jeff? Jeff doesn't know. We started a pop-up ad, let's just say early last week, for the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference coming up November 9th and 10th in Dallas, Texas. It's something we hadn't done before. We hadn't done this at our website to have one of these as you enter the website when you come to the page, whatever page you're land on. A pop-up ad shows you the pictures of the guests, the dates, and it is a link to register for the conference. And so we thought we would try one of those. And we tested it, getting some help from various individuals. And it appears, Jeff, at least according to the feedback, that we're probably producing as much frustration among our listeners as we are any other kind of reaction.
This is most certainly true. Good news is, as I posted Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel today, WordPress said we have more than 10,000 views on the Making the Case conference pop-up ads.
I saw that.
10,000.
10,000, 5,000 of which are frustrated.
Yes. Yes.
What did Lynn say? I heard her.
She said they have to. They have no choice.
That's true. They have no choice. What we're trying to do is keep the conference registration in front of our listeners as much as we possibly can. I am exactly like you. When I go to almost every website I visit, it has something that pops up or a question that it asks you before you can proceed and read the article or look at the blog or whatever it is. They're seeking to get your permission to notify them. They're seeking to get your location so that they can more accurately kind of track what's going on there. Or they're doing like we're doing, trying to remind you of something that's coming up. We do not mean you harm, and we certainly do not mean to make it more difficult for you to listen to the program.
There's all kinds of issues. One of them is, it's a Safari. A guy just sent me a screenshot, and Lynn has brought this up. Deaconess Fredrickson has brought this up with Safari. So depending on what web browser you're using and what device you're using. Good news is this. Wilkin and Schwarz know nothing about IT-related matters. But tomorrow, we are having a session with website professionals. And during that conversation, we hope to have the pop-up ad crisis resolved.
The great pop-up ad crisis of 2018.
Bigger than the Kavanaugh hearings.
Hopefully will be resolved. It's just a matter of applying someone's skill and mind to the situation that can give us what we want while not annoying the heck out of our listeners. Now, there is one way that we can do this, and that is, but again, I'm speaking from a vast well of ignorance. We can set the pop-up ad so that it requires that it drops a cookie on your machine, which is just a way that that our website makes sure that they know that you came to our website. It just says you were here before. And if we set the pop-up ad to drop a cookie on your machine, then when you come the second time, it won't show you the pop-up ad. There are two problems with that. Jeff probably doesn't want that to happen. Jeff probably wants people to see the pop-up ad every time they come to the website, not just the first time to see the pop-up ad. And the other problem with that is that means you would have to let us... It's not something they ask you to do, but it means that we would be dropping a cookie on your machine and leaving the evidence that you were at our website. And some people don't want to have that happen. They have cookies blocked. You're looking at me like...
No, I have a better solution.
Mm-hmm.
180 people sign up for the conference. It's sold out at 400. Ads go away.
Oh, so you're going to hold our listeners hostage?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I've
so
got
why don't
the,
we just make
solutions.
It so that when they come to the website, all they see is the pop-up ad? Nothing
well,
else?
I do have limitations. Remember, originally we were experimenting. It was on every page of the website. Now it's just on the homepage.
Yeah,
and
but then Jeff
the
tried
page.
To use the website and found out how completely impossible that situation.
That was brutal.
I said, where do you want it to be? Everywhere. On every page. I said, okay. It's going to be on every page. And then I walked into Jeff's office. He said, this is terrible.
I said, who's the idiot who said put this on every page? He's fired. So anyway, good news is tomorrow. But anyway, yeah, good news tomorrow.
We'll get it resolved.
Hopefully we'll have it resolved. But it's a great opportunity to sell out the conference.
And if you have any further concerns, then direct them to Jeff, pop-up ad, Schwarz, at issuesetc.org. He's actually changed his name, Jeff, pop-up ad, Schwarz.
Well, yeah, we should start a new email address, pop-up ad at issuesetc.org. Or just pop-up at issuesetc.org. By the way, Issues Etc. are making the case conference. Lynn just booked our flights. I honestly believe this is the, what would you say, most star-studded lineup that we've had for making the case. Dr. Anthony Esalen, author of one of the three biggest books a year ago, Out of the Ashes. Dr. Ryan Anderson of the Heritage Foundation. Dr. Mark Kaltoff of Hillsdale College. A gentleman whom we've been trying to get on to speak at the conference for years, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. Pastor Chris Roseborough. One of our listeners' favorite guests. I cannot wait to hear his presentation, Making the Case for Infant Baptism, and Dr. Beverly Yonke of Doxology. It's going to be a great, great, great conference. Huge. Huge. And it's Friday, November 9th and Saturday, November 10th in Dallas, Texas. Registration now, since you missed the early bird registration deadline, is $120. Includes three meals. Child care is free thanks to Wittenberg Academy. Issuesetc.org or 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas.
And you have it officially from Jeff that if we get the rest of our registrants and we close out the conference, the pop-up ad will go away.
Gone. Email, Jim. Todd, I love your content, and I listen often. A mild criticism is that you need to finish your words. Often, you finish a sentence with an amazing decrescendo on the last aspirated consonant. For example, tell us about catechese, fade, no final S, rather than tell us about catechesis. A very soft fade eliminates the finality of a word or sentence. It's a broadcasting thing, that's all. Now, that being said, keep telling people about Jesus Christ. Thanks for the feedback, Jim.
Yeah, and I think Jeff even said something to me a couple of weeks ago. He said, you're fading, you're losing your energy at the end of a statement. And that's probably just fatigue. And if you were listening last week, it was probably... Or the week before last, it was probably extreme fatigue. But look, there are bad habits every broadcaster falls into, without a doubt. Bad habits that are just, some of them are just laziness, and some of them are, in my case, it's probably when you get tired, you run out of air. I have less air than I used to have, I've noticed. I don't smoke. I don't do anything that's detrimental to my respiration. But I have less air than I used to have. And it probably has to do with I have more years than I used to have. The funny thing is, when people might not know this, but when I was growing up, when I was a kid until I was 18 years old, I had a very profound lisp. And I worked really hard my freshman year in college to make it go away, and more or less succeeded, except when I get tired and fatigued and then the lisp comes back. And maybe it's that aspirated or unaspirated last syllable, those S's, have always given me trouble ever since I was a little child.
Yes, I haven't hammered you. I've mentioned this several times in the last couple of weeks, right?
Yes.
But you brought up a valid point that I still haven't gotten to the bottom of. The cleaning authority, the last time they were in here, or two times ago, I think, decided to clean the radio equipment. In the course of doing that, they changed all of the... What would you call? It's called a compressor or a processor, right, Craig?
It's a compressor expander is what it is.
So all those knobs are moved thanks to, it wasn't their fault.
They were dusting. And while dusting, they were turning these knobs that have tolerances of about 1/1,000,000th of a millimeter. If you turn it 1/1,000,000th of a millimeter, it changes things.
So I'm not certain that this issue is because of our cleaning ladies, or is it a combination of poor cardio / old age on the part of Wilkin?
You brought it up to me, and I also complained that I wasn't hearing as well. Because the microphone I'm speaking to right now is very directional microphone. It has just a pencil beam of sensitivity right in front of the microphone. So you have to stay right on it. If you step off the microphone, the sound falls off completely. It's why you don't hear me playing the piano right now. I'm playing the piano and no one can hear it because the piano is not in front of the microphone. I do all sorts of things that make noise here in the studio that people don't hear because the microphone, and then we add compression to it. And what the compression does, though, is it does clip words. And we need to resolve this issue because if you remember when we first came back on the air, that thing was cranked up to some crazy level of compression, and I sounded like I was, it was clipping not only the beginning of my words, it was clipping the ends of my words as well. So let's look into this and see if this is a biological problem having to do with Wilkin just getting lazy and tired, or a technological problem where the compression on my mic is actually clipping the ends of my words. What it's doing is it's making, in an electronic way, it's making the microphone, you have to push harder on the microphone to make it do what it wants, what you want it to do. And if you're not pushing hard enough, like an S at the end of a word, then the microphone just says, there's no sound there. and doesn't let that sound through. So we'll figure out, maybe it's a combination of man and machine. Maybe it's a combination of a bad setting on our compressor and bad settings in Wilkins' aging body. When we come back from this break, what are we going to do when we come back from this break? More listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line, and then we'll get to that conversation with Dr. Adam Francisco, beginning series with him, introducing the books of the Quran, Surah 9. Stay tuned.
I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
At Risen Christ Lutheran Church in Arvada, Colorado, we have simply become captivated by the hilarious notion that God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to save the losers of this world, losers just like us. We proclaim the biblical notion that God saves sinners. Embracing the historic liturgy of the church, we confess that we are just that, sinners. Visit us online at risenchristlutheran.org.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Concordia Seminary St. Louis is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During September, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to Concordia Seminary. Learn more at lutheranfcu.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you. Good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line, the email address talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line 618-223-8382.
A little Aretha Franklin bump music there.
Oh, yeah. She died, what was it, 2 weeks ago? A week ago?
I was just telling Craig. I don't trust my timeline anymore. Things I think happened 2 days ago happened 2 months ago.
I had last week off, so that's kind of messed up things for me, too.
Hey, thanks to Issues Etc.'s own Paul Harvey, Harry, in Arlington Heights, Illinois, brought up a very good point about the pop-up ads that people might not be aware. There should be, except on Safari, an X in the upper right-hand corner. In order to get rid of the pop-up ad, you have to click the X.
But on some computers... It lens in particular, that X does not appear.
No, on Safari it does.
What's that?
We've brought that up, Lynn. There's no on Safari. There is no X. When you use Safari, there's no X. So on my cell phone, I noticed it was kind of to the right. I have to move it over with my finger to the left, and then I can reach the X enough to exit and get rid of the pop-up ad.
We need that meeting tomorrow.
But we can't assume that people know how to get rid of the pop-up ad. So thank you, Harry, for
very
upper right-hand corner, click the X if you see one. If not, we hope to have that resolved tomorrow. Website meeting, 11 a.m. You're going to be here, right, Todd?
I will be.
Yeah, because they tell me we're not going to accomplish much. This comes from, let's see here, this is Tina. She says, listener email / comment line regarding your comment that, quote, a woman can't make it on her own, end quote. You sure try your hardest to make that a reality. Yes, it is optimal to have both mother and father in rearing children, but sometimes that is not possible. So do you suggest that single parents put their kids up for adoption so that they can have the benefit of both mother and father? Wouldn't it be weird if we made life just a little easier for single parents and their children rather than showering them with a guilt bullet storm? Thanks for the feedback and thanks for listening, Tina.
Did I or a guest say that a woman can't make it on her own?
You were responding to criticism to Pastor Peterson on the marriage series, who said children can survive mother's essential something.
He was talking about how the mother is, in some basic sense, more important to the family than the father is when it comes to the children. I think he was saying something like that. But did he say that a woman can't make it on her own? It seems that his statement would...
No, she said your listener email. So during the course of that, somebody's criticizing Pastor Peterson, thinking he said fathers really aren't that important, that children need their mothers. Remember that? And then you responded saying, well, no, he didn't say fathers weren't important. So Tina's reacting to something you said in response to...
Yeah, I just don't recall, nor would I ever have a mind to say that women can't make it on their own. I have a wife and a daughter to answer to. I don't say those kind of things because it would get me in trouble at home. So, plus, I don't think those kind of things, so I likely don't say them. So I'm sorry I can't respond to something that I don't think I said. Now, if you can find it on the tape, Jeff, then I'll
try. Well, Tina, send us an email with the time cues and the audio link.
I might have said that. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Woman can't be father and mother, which I think is self-evident. A woman can only be a mother. And that's good. It's a good thing to be a mother, but a woman can't be both father and mother.
Eric writes, got a great question. Why does the citation "for the Lord be with you," this is part of the historic liturgy, then the congregation's response, "and also with you," as a quote from the book of Timothy, when it is not? The response, "and with thy spirit," would be biblical. Why has this error been allowed? Thanks for the email, Eric.
That would require the expertise of someone like Pastor Will Whedon or Pastor David Peterson. But I think I can tell you from memory, the traditional response in the historic liturgy is "and with thy spirit." Dr. Alvin Schmidt could also answer this question. I think he wrote an entire chapter on this very thing someplace. I'm sure he has. So the traditional response is "and with thy spirit," which is, it's more than simply a greeting. The Lord be with you and also with you, or right back at you, or something like that. But both forms exist in the parlance of Christianity. One of them is embedded in the liturgy, and the other one is in kind of the casual conversation of the church. So when I am speaking in front of a group of Christians, very often, rather than saying good afternoon or good morning, I will say, "the Lord be with you." And the response is, and the appropriate response there is, "and also with you." Because you're simply saying, you are acknowledging the presence of the Lord as you're gathered together in his name, and you are simply speaking that blessing to one another, "the Lord be with you and also with you." In the course of the liturgy where those words are spoken, it's two places. One, right before the collect is prayed, it's usually called the salutation, and it is "the Lord be with you," and in our liturgy today, it is "and also with you," because at that point in the liturgy, it functions more as a greeting between pastor and people. It also occurs during the sacrament of the altar, where the function of it isn't to say good morning or the Lord's presence bless you or something like that, but it is to introduce this entire part where the pastor is going to be handling the mysteries of the sacraments. And he is literally proclaiming to them that the Lord is present in his word and his sacraments. And the response there is not "and also with you," but the response is "and with your spirit," which acknowledges that the pastor there has been called by the congregation, has been called by God to be the steward of the mysteries. And so it's more than just, you know, good luck pastor. For a fuller answer than that, what I would say is neither of them are wrong given the context. So if I meet another Christian on the street and I say, the Lord be with you, two Christians meeting one another, it wouldn't necessarily make a lot of sense for the other person to respond, and with your spirit, because that has that particular liturgical context. But in the course of the celebration of the Lord's Supper, there's a reason why it is and with your spirit rather than simply and also with you.
One final email from Katie. She said, thank you so much for including Deaconess Weber on a recent podcast to discuss a Christian's approach to miscarriage. I applaud her bravery for discussing such a sensitive subject and for reminding everyone how God's mercy is truly present even in unfortunate situations such as miscarriage. I recently had a similar experience as a pastor's wife, expecting a child that is expected to be born with several birth defects. Originally, we were told our child would not make it more than a few minutes or hours after birth, but have since received more positive news. My own experience in telling our congregation the news of our child's developmental issues, as well as family and friends, made Deaconess Weber's recount of her miscarriage really resonate. Listening to it made big, fat, rolling tears stream down my face. Thank you for proclaiming the law and gospel to those struggling to overcome sin, death, and the devil, and the awful trials of this world. Thank you for the email, Katie.
We are very happy to have had Deaconess Weber on to talk about the book that she has edited and in part written called Never Forsaken, God's Mercy in the Midst of Miscarriage. And we began with probably one of the more difficult chapters, which is where forgiveness is not only needed on the part of, where the need for forgiveness is the need for the woman who has suffered the miscarriage to exercise forgiveness with those who wittingly and unwittingly can be hurtful or offensive. It was a difficult interview to do, and she did a fantastic job. She speaks not only from that experience of the loss of miscarriage, but also as someone who has a good, solid Lutheran foundation of theology beneath her. You'll find that throughout the entire book called Never Forsaken, God's Mercy in the Midst of Miscarriage. Find out more about it at our website. It's on every page of the website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and order this book, Never Forsaken, the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for September. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Dr. Adam Francisco, actually beginning a series with him on introducing the Quran. We'll begin with Surah 9, which is titled Repentance.
Ask the average evangelical about infant baptism, and they are likely to emphatically tell you that is a man-made doctrine, man-made practice. The Bible nowhere teaches it, and the Bible does not tell us to baptize our infants. Is this true?
Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith talking about his presentation at the Fall 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
We'll be opening up the scriptures and looking at who the scriptures say baptism is for. We'll take a look at the doctrine of original sin and how it relates to infant baptism. And we'll also take a look at the benefits of baptism, who's doing the work, and even take a look at a biblical account of baptismal regeneration.
You can meet and hear Chris Roseborough making the case for infant baptism at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas, Texas. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260 952-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
You can teach laypeople theology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.